This is the CSIS Global Health Interview Series at www.smartglobalhealth.org.
I'm here today with Ambassador Eric Goosby, the U.S. Global AIDS Coordinator. Prior to leading all U.S. government international HIV/AIDS efforts, Ambassador Goosby was the CEO and Chief Medical Officer of the Pangea AIDS Foundation, Global AIDS Foundation, from 2001 to June 2009 when he re-entered the government. Ambassador, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Let's start with the UN high-level meeting on HIV/AIDS, which of course took place 2 weeks ago in New York. And there was a lot of excitement about the meeting and a number of important takeaways, including the development of specific time-bound targets for a number of achievements across prevention, treatment, and care of HIV. When you look back at the high-level meeting, what's most notable for you?
Well, I think that the importance that these types of dialogues, the high-level meeting, really afford for the global discussion is very important. It's disproportionate kind of to what you might think its impact would be. It anchors the discussion on focused targets for treatment prevention, for the types of populations that should be identified aggressively, and that specific issues around access need to be defined in each country. It kind of puts that marker down. And I think that the ability to elevate the discussion sometimes out of the weeds of an in-country discussion that can get very confounded is clarified often by the parameter that's set by a high-level meeting from the UN saying that human rights issues are indeed important, they're critical to the successful identification, entry, and retention of people in these services, that this particular virus and the diseases it causes in HIV/AIDS is especially discriminatory and carries a lot of stigma, and as a result, in and of itself, is a barrier to accessing and retaining that person in care over the duration of their life. And it gives a challenge to governments that puts a marker down that the world expectation for them to respond is there, that it be done in a respectful manner that first doesn't do any harm. I think that this high-level meeting was especially effective at identifying populations that have not fully benefited from the services that are available in the societies in which they live. And I hope that one of the lasting benefits from the meeting will be the ability to bring that back to the table in subsequent planning and implementation discussions in country.
You became Global AIDS Coordinator in June 2009. When you look at the period from, you know, your first day in office to now, there have been a lot of dramatic changes in the operating environment. On one hand, there's a lot more pressure to save money, to find cost efficiencies, to better integrate with U.S. programs, and that has required a lot of reflection and new strategy. On the other hand, perhaps more optimistically, there have also been many new programmatic and technological advances, particularly on the prevention side of your work. So when you look out across this complicated field, what immediate choices is OGAC facing right now? What are your priorities, and how do you navigate such a complex environment?
Well, it is a complex environment, and it's further compounded by the dialogue that we are now entering more aggressively with partner country leadership, both the government and the civil society aspects of that. It puts the need to define a body within each country that defines the unmet need, has a kind of broad dialogue amongst stakeholders around how to prioritize that unmet need, and then inform the allocation decisions of the what are limited resources. The country's resource contribution is more explicitly defined in our current PEPFAR discourse than it has been in the past. The expectation that that be defined and increased over time is a new pressure on the dialogue, and that the resources from Global Fund and PEPFAR's existing resources, other bilateral programs, other foundations' contributions, be put to the same planning and implementation scrutiny, so those unmet needs are indeed strategic and not duplicative in the response that's afforded. That has been a very difficult challenge to put in place in each country, and to make sure that the stakeholders around the table engaged in that discussion are representative of the epidemic that the country has, specifically high-risk populations often being excluded from those policy planning implementation discussions. And I think that our goal in the last 2 years has been to engage in the discussion, to develop the relationships with leadership that allow for it to move into a collegial and candid discussion, so we can have the difficult discussion around competing priorities with expanding unmet need and limited resources. I think the biggest surprise for me in engaging in this work in the last 2 years has been the impact that the economic decline has had globally. Has not spared the PEPFAR programs. It has made us that much more intent on making sure that we are efficient, but at the same time, increase our impact, not hold it steady, but to increase it. In this time period, we've been able to expand at rates of accrual much higher than prior years in PEPFAR in prevention, care, and treatment services, PMTCT, orphans and vulnerable children. All of those activities have gone up in a way that has exceeded what we would have anticipated from the funding challenges that we're confronted with. I think President Obama and Secretary Clinton's commitment to these issues has facilitated that for me and has allowed us to really move in the direction of true country ownership to respond to the country's problems and for us to be in a partnership with them, not to supplant their role, but to enhance their role in making those decisions and moving forward in their implementation plans.
This month marked the 30-year anniversary of the first discovery of AIDS. And like many leaders in this field, you've been involved for at least 25, if not more, of those 30 years. And I think as a lot of people have reflected this year on was 30 years of the epidemic meant, a lot of people have commented that it's been a long, difficult fight. So as someone who's been engaged since the very early days of the epidemic, what remains your inspiration, and is there an end in sight?
I think that for me, my personal motivators in this really go back to the early days of the epidemic, really the 81 to 93 period, when we really were left with being very good at diagnosing and treating opportunistic infections, anticipating, being aggressive in initiating treatment in a way that we would not do in an HIV-negative person. And then the development of antiretroviral drugs that worked but weren't completely restorative of immune function, but then seeing in 94 much more powerful drugs coming on board that in combination really stopped viral replication and stopped progression of disease. All of the deaths that I was in front of in that period, the hundreds of people who I personally cared for who died because we didn't know how to treat it, remained the central motivator for me in engaging in all of my work now, in that many of the countries in which PEPFAR has a programmatic footprint are at various stages of that evolution in developing an effective response understanding the community, the impact on the community and the individual, and what that should and how that should inform programmatic decisions, continue to be the same issues that we were dealing with in 1981, 82 in San Francisco. I see it in every setting I visit. So I think for the sake of all of those lives lost and not wanting lives that we're in front of now to be lost when there's an effective treatment, in my thinking, and I know Secretary Clinton and President Obama's thinking, is that we want these people who are burdened with this disease to benefit from the treatments that are available. And that's the main motivator for PEPFAR. I believe the American people should have great pride in knowing that their tax dollars are going for this purpose, which is, without any question, saving millions of lives every year. And people who, without any question, would have died.
Thank you, Ambassador. It's been a pleasure to sit down and speak with you. And interested viewers can hear more from Ambassador Goosby by watching his full June 28th presentation at CSIS by going to csis.org and smartglobalhealth.org. Thank you.
Pleasure.